Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Luke, where's your Bible? Miss Stacy is in labor, so I'll be praying for them, her, maybe for Jeremy not to pass out. No. So, okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Now, obviously, when you read down through this, this is history about the nation of Israel. And Israel was the first republic, like a constitutional republic in the Old Testament, where it had the people in mind. And America is probably the first constitutional republic that had the people in mind in the New Testament. There are some similarities. The warning is the same for any nation, and that's forgetting God. Verse 11. That's real appropriate because I forgot my Bible down at Rensselaer. I have two books that help with memory, but I can never remember where I put them. And what is it, ginkgo that's supposed to help with your memory? And I always forget to take that. So, Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is very appropriate for America. Verse 7, For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. If you doubt that, right there, sit outside any store and observe Americans. And how, let's see, how do you say this politically correct? How weight challenged they are. Okay. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. This definitely is what we're experiencing in America. America doesn't need to import oil at all. The powers that be wants to keep the average American as poor as a church mouse, so you don't have time to read and study anything. We have plenty of oil in our own country. And not only that, there have been men who have used their ability to invent carburetors that can get 200 miles a gallon. There's plenty of that too. But as far as a country is with the vast provisions, America is definitely that. But what is America's trouble? Keep reading. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Usually at the end of a harvest, this is what you call a harvest feast. In America, we have what's called Thanksgiving Day. And definitely we should be doing that. Verse 10. Now here's the problem. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the wealth, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. That's pretty dogmatic, isn't it? As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help our nation, people of this nation, especially Christians of this nation. They have forgotten you. They would not admit that they have forgotten you, but they have. And Lord, I pray you'd help us not to be guilty of that sin of forgetting you. Help us to have hearts of gratitude towards thee, towards the provisions that you have given, and enjoy what you have given us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be grateful towards you, in Jesus' name, amen. Three times he warned them about forgetting God. The third time he gave them another warning, what happens when they're going to forget him. Verse 18, he told them to remember God. Psalms 9, verse 17 says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That's including America. America has forgotten God. Now, if you talk to the average Christian in America, you'd ask them if they've forsaken God. Oh, no, we wouldn't forsake God. If you talk to the average American, say, do you hate God? The vast majority would say, oh, no, I don't hate God. You know, you might find a few. You know, go to any of the state universities, you'll find some that come out and say, I hate God. You'll find a few say that. Jan had one say that to her when he was down at Purdue. Okay, but the vast majority of Americans will not come out and publicly say, I hate God, but the vast majority have forgotten God. They have forgot. Oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Oh, I forgot to pray. Oh, I forgot to go to church, you know, faithfully and all that stuff. Now, God has given us fair warning about these things because of human nature. And human nature is that we take things for granted until we lose them. And that's a sad fact. You know, to me, the sad thing about funerals is that the funeral business is making a killing out of putting people under guilt about doing the last thing they can for their loved one and getting all these flowers, and they don't see them. Give it to them while they're alive. Enjoy them while they're alive. Okay, but that's just human nature. We take things for granted. When we moved to Colorado, you know, being from the flatlands of Indiana, and seeing them big mountains out there, the mountains just have a sensation of come, and you always got to climb a mountain. You just always do. And when you get to the top of that mountain, the next mountain over there says, come over here, I'm better. And you got to go down and climb the other one. And that's just the way mountains are, and that's why we're climbing or seeking heaven, because it's Mount Zion. But even at that, when we moved there, I thought, I'd never get used to these mountains. Boy, they're just so beautiful. About 6 months later, I forgot about the mountains. You know, you forget to look over there. I mean, where our house was, you can see Pike's Peak. The church that we worked at, you in the football field that they have, you line it up with Pike's Peak. Pike's Peak is right in the center of the goalpost. And you can see downtown Colorado Springs right from the edge of the property is the highest property in the city. Beautiful location. But you take it for granted. You forgot about it, just like anything else. I mean, the first time you get your new car or new used car... You may not let the kids, you know, eat anything in it, but about 3 months later, man, you got garbage stashed 3 feet in the back. You know, that's how it goes. Okay, but this is a fair warning. Now, what's America's trouble and what most people's trouble in Christians is not that they are going into sin per se. It's just that they forget God. They get sidetracked. Okay, if you would, look in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. In Mark chapter 4, and this has a parallel over in Matthew 13 and over in Luke 8, There are four different types of people who hear the Word of God. The first two appear to be lost people who hear the Word of God and then, you know, totally just ignore it. Don't understand it. The birds take the seed out of their heart. Okay, the third individual or the third group is somebody who hears the Word and it is sown among thorns. Mark 4, verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the Word, and it become unfruitful. It is not a sin to have care and maintenance of your house and property. That's not a sin. Obviously, you got to take care of stuff. It's going to fall apart. It is not a sin in this age to be wealthy. It is a sin to be deceived by the wealth. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But notice the cares of this world. You buy a car and you have care and maintenance, care and maintenance, care and maintenance. It's not a sin to wash your car. You should take care of your car. You change oil regularly and stuff like that. It would be a sin to do it on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock because you're not where God wants you to be. Luke chapter 8 is a similar passage. It's a parallel of the same story. He writes it this way, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." Prosperity destroys many people. The prosperity is not really destroying them. It's their heart being allowed to seek after the prosperity. This is America's trouble right now. America, the last great national awakening or revival that America had occurred during the Great Depression. Now, if you know history, as a lot of us know history, the Great Depression was orchestrated. It was purposely planned by the international bankers, by the Illuminati. It was purposely planned to destroy people, destroy America. But that desperation drove America to the church. And when they do it the next time, they ain't going to church. They're going to kill each other over it. Because Americans have lost their moral basis. The morality of America back in those days, I mean, even an unsaved man knew not to cuss around women then. I mean, even unsaved men back then went to church regularly, back in the 30s. Today, Christian women are cussing. You know, not even faithful to God. But you see, what it is, the problem is the prosperity, as far as people allow the prosperity to take their heart away from God. That's just human nature. Job knew that. Look in Job chapter 19, verse 14. Job 19, 14. And a person understands this, and this shows you how vain it is to become popular. A lot of times young people want to be popular. That's a vain thing. People are going to forget you. Job 19, 14. When Job was going through his troubles, he said, "My kinsfolk have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me." You know, you have famous people all across the country, you know, in America, and they think, oh, everybody knows me. You know, how about this name? Maybe you haven't thought of this name yet today. Elvis Presley. You know, that's the second time I thought of his name because I mentioned him down in Rensselaer. You've thought about that name before now? You forget those guys. He died a dope head. Now, maybe you may have a picture of Elvis in your house. What do you got a picture of? You got a picture of a drunk or a dope head? You know, that's what you got? Well, he sang good song. So what? The devil prays. Don't put his picture on my walls. You know, even though we have him as a mascot in our local public school, What happened to separation church and state? Where's the ACLU? Why don't they sue them? Don't want to. Well, prosperity and people. People forget. So what's the solution? People say, well, I'll get religious. That doesn't help. You can do right things for God and still forget God. Look, if you would, in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 27. I just heard about, haven't got it confirmed, but I know a lot of these things happen time and time again. If this happens not to be true with this individual, I hope it's not. But heard about an old soldier of the cross, I think is in his 80s now, or upper 70s or low 80s, and he's been a faithful preacher for God for years and years and years. And now I find out, or at least have been told, a guy is sitting in the Gray Bar Motel because of an admission on his part and several women's part of his fornication going on. The guy's been serving God, and he's one of the ones that's been faithfully serving God for years, but somewhere along the line, he forgot his God. While he's serving that God, he forgot his personal time with his God. Somewhere along the line. Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah is aiming this message at religious leaders. Jeremiah 23, 27, he says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. That's a perfect description of the modern charismatic movement. They get up and tell about their fancy dream that they had. You know, Oral Roberts gets up, I saw a 900-foot Jesus, and he told me to build a hospital. And he told me to tell you to give me $6 million to help build this hospital, which, of course, I have faith to build this hospital. I mean, what are these guys doing? When you get talking to these guys, they don't want you to ask any Bible questions. Benny Hinn don't want you to ask him any Bible questions. And these guys have bodyguards out there so that nobody can come up and ask these clowns about their Bible knowledge. What are they doing? They're trying to get people to forget God. Oh, I had this mysterious thing happen to me. That's because I'm special. We had a lady show up Rensselaer about a year ago. She came, I think, two times. One time after a service, she told me about an account that she had. She said, I saw a picture of Jesus on my ceiling in the bed. She said, what do you think that means? I said, did somebody, you know, I didn't say anything to try to hurt her feelings or anything. I had a lot of thoughts that I wanted to say. You know, what kind of medication were you on? Was it hashish or LSD or, you know, what were you smoking at that time? You know, that's what I was thinking. What would your interpretation of that be? I said, it's a shadow on your ceiling. Oh, I thought it was because, you know, I was special. Everybody wants to be special. You know how you are special with God is that Jesus Christ died on a cross and he wrote it down in this book. That's good enough. That ought to show you enough that God loves you. Now, if you expect a God to every individual speak from heaven to 6 billion people because you're special, special ed maybe, but even at that, but what everybody's trying to say, I'm unique. Of course you're unique. Your fingerprints are different. What else do you want? You see, these people want attention. That's what they want. Bring me up in front of Benny Hinn, and then he's going to breathe his garlic breath on me, and I'll fall backwards, and his two henchmen will catch me as I fall down. It's all a show. It's a circus. These people have forgotten God is what they've done. And the Lord don't want us to forget them. If you would, look at Hosea chapter 8. How you know God loves you is that he died at Calvary for you. And God wrote that thing down in a book. I mean, that ought to be good enough. You forget, people forget that the devil can counterfeit everything God does. Look, if you would, in Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For Israel hath forgotten his maker." Hosea 8:14. "And buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." So much for God's appreciation of their temples. Over there in Ezekiel chapter 7, it says, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." It says it three times, the temple of the Lord. You see, you can come to a Bible-believing church even and hear the truth of God being preached and still forget God. The church as a structure is not what's important. What's important is your personal relationship with God. Do you know God personally? Do you walk with Him personally on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday? You see, a daily fellowship with God. You know, probably a good example is if you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, and I realize that that's got some little sacrilegious stuff in there, and it also has a very subtle teaching of how the devil slowly gets somebody to give up what they believe, very subtly. But even at that, the idea of, what is it, Reptilia? Whatever the guy is. Is he Reptilian? I'm Reptilian. I don't know. Whatever the guy's name is he's talking to God throughout the thing in his work. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to talk to Him. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Can you imagine a Roman priest have to go through the mass as they go through and get that memorized? And he's going through, you know, taking up the little host, and I'm Domino's, what the Cubs are doing today? Losing, that's for sure. And then he's sitting there wiping the little glass, sipping a little glass. You know, they got all these little rituals, what they go through. You know, I think it would be a great ministry to go to these churches. You go up front, and he puts a little host on your thing, and then sits, "Boy, that was good. Give me another one." You know, just play really dumb. And just ruin the whole theology that they have. They have theology. What do you do if you drop them? That's why they put a little thing under there so you don't drop Jesus. They have a theology. What do you do if you upchuck Jesus afterwards? Man, that's something. They have forgotten God. Forgot God. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 gives us fair warning about these things. Don't forget God. Even when you're doing what's called a religious thing, Titus 1:16, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Basically, the idea is when you go out street preaching is all you're doing is trying to get people to remember God. They have forgotten their God. And you'll get a lot of thumbs up out there. I mean, yesterday we get a lot of thumbs up. Guys honking a horn, you know. I mean, in favor a lot of times, then you get some that are not in favor. But the idea is, okay, don't forget God. Now, God has certain things in mind, certain ways to help you and I to help ourselves remember God. Okay, now one is what we know as holidays. If you would, look at Exodus chapter 12. The thing about holidays is what's good about them is hopefully you get a day off work. Hopefully, it's another day you don't get a bill in the mailbox. That's nice. But what's good about holidays is you do, hopefully, slow down. The word holiday is abbreviation of holy day. And these originally stemmed from the Jews, Exodus 12, verse 14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now that's a good aspect of holidays. And I, you know, holidays I think are great things as far as having good memories, good time together with family. But the drawback is that the devil is going to counterfeit these things, and he's going to try to rob the attention given to God. And not only that, but man's flesh is going to forget his God on the holiday. Why? Too busy drinking beer. You think the average American on Memorial Day really remembers the people of the past? No, they're too busy celebrating who won Indy 500. Cooking the thing on the grill, drinking a beer. 4th of July, throwing off firecrackers. You know, Christmas, let's piss out the presents. Who cares? You know, Christmas is a, you know, the devil gets all the glory out of Christmas, Halloween, Easter, Valentine's Day. If you read the research on this stuff, the devil is a master of taking something good and trying to pervert it. Not saying that Christmas and all that stuff is good, but people say, well, we need to promote the reason for the season. What's the reason for Christmas? It's a pagan holiday. You know, but even at that, even when it's a pagan holiday, you still can remember Jesus Christ. You should do that on every day. Amen. But even at that, the devil is a master of stealing God's worship. He's been doing that from many moons ago. And so the thing is okay, on holidays, Memorial Day, I'd say that's a decent one. Remember the things of God. Remember the sacrifices people have paid in the past for our nation. I remember that. Think about that. Thanksgiving Day. How does the average American celebrate Thanksgiving Day? Stuff his face with turkey or ham and watch Dallas and Detroit. I mean, every Thanksgiving Day. You say, do you do that? Yeah, I watch it too, and I plan on stuffing my face with turkey that day. You know, but again, we're supposed to be grateful to our God every day. But the thing about holidays is a time you want to slow down and think. Think about God. Isn't it amazing in America we have all these time-saving devices and no time to think about God? Okay, the next way that God wants you and I to remember Him is Exodus 17, verse 15. Or 14, Exodus 17, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Okay, there's the story. What is that? That's a history book. God gave us a perfect history book so that we can find out what happened in the past and remember what God has done. You ought to read American history books. Now, the problem with American history books is you got to find out who recorded the history. Why? Because the public schools do not have good history books. Why? It's because there is a sneaky little group of men called Jesuits who like to revise the history of America so that you and I don't know the true foundation of our nation. You say, do they do that? Of course they do that. They admit that they do that. They try to tell people that America was created by a bunch of deists. No, America, the spiritual influence of the foundation of this country was Christianity. Now, I'm not dumb enough to think they were all saved. There was a conspiracy at the same time. So you have in this nation, as in almost every nation, Christianity and a conspiracy coming right side by side, because whenever you have a revival, you always have the devil showing up at the revival. The greatest revivals we had in our country was like in the 1700s and the 1800s, and also in the 1800s, you have some of the most perverted heresies being started. Mormonism, 1850s. JWs, about 1870s. You have the Seventh-day Adventists, 1880s. In 1880, you have the Revised Version coming off the market. You've got in the 1850s a slam on the Constitution of the United States by the abolitionists who used slavery as a selling point for the Northern War of Aggression against the South. It's a destruction of our nation. Who's behind that? You mark it down as the Jesuits who are behind both sides of the thing. And you can throw in a conspiracy on that stuff. You see, if you know true American history, you can see exactly what's going on. If you refuse to learn from history, you're destined to repeat it. We need to know our history. We have a fascinating history in this country. It's too bad they're not being taught this in the schools. I remember taking government class. Democracy, democracy, democracy. That's not America. It's not this country. So we need to know some real history. Now, tell, you know, your children one way the kids know some things. Look in Psalm 78. Is you tell them about the blessings of God on your life. Tell them about the blessings on America. Psalm 78, verse 4. This is giving history by word of mouth. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. God has blessed this country just amazing. Amen. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. Pass it down. Now, don't only just tell, don't, you know, stop at telling your children about the good times. Tell them about times when God got his big stick out and reminded you that he still loves you. Gave you a whooping. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 12. Tell God, tell your children when you got out of line and God corrected you. There's a fellow in the Old Testament named Nebuchadnezzar that God corrected in a big way. I mean, here this guy was a king of kings. He was the number one king of the very first worldwide kingdom. And this guy got too big for his britches. And Daniel warned him, gave him a fair warning, said, Nebi, he says, you better straighten up your act. He said, God's the one that puts you in this position. And he straightened up for 12 months. He did not forget his God for 12 months. And then at the end of one full year, he forgot his God. And he says, is not this the kingdom that I have built? And then a little fly comes flying down, went in his ear and messed up his brain, screwed up his brain. And a guy was in a nut barn for 7 years. Put him in a back 40. Who put him in a back 40? His advisors, his counselors put him in a back 40. The guys who were trying to run the show with him in charge. Can you imagine when they had tours to the White House of Babylon? May we see the king? Yeah, he's in a back 40. Go see him. The guy was a nut for 7 years. And he dictated the account of what God did to him. That's humility. Boy, that's admitting what God did to a man. That's accepting the punishment of your sin. You got an entire chapter, Daniel chapter 4, about Nebuchadnezzar telling people what God did to him because of his pride. You know, when you give a testimony, people give testimonies, they only want to give testimonies about the good things that happened to them in their life. How about when God showed his love by spanking you? Tell them those things. Hebrews 12, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Tell them about the time when God humbled you. Well, I've ate humble pie several times. And so the Lord wants to tell us about history. Another way God helps us remember is what we call historical markers. Look, if you would, in Joshua chapter 4. If you're traveling through our country, you may see a little sign where it says historical marker. Okay, and if you stop in there, you might read a little plaque there of something that happened. Okay, now historical markers in the Bible are often, and in life, are often stones. And they have writing on the stones. Everybody agrees with the Bible to some extent. I mean, when an atheist dies, they put him in the ground and they put a stone in memory of the atheist. Where'd that idea come from? This book. Joshua 4, verse 7. It said, "Then shall ye answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So you have stones out there as a memorial. So take a walk through a cemetery. Visit the tombstone, maybe, of your parents, grandparents. See other tombstones and think about, wonder what that person did with his life. See the ones with a little compass and stuff on there and wonder. And the little obelisk in the cemeteries and wonder if it helped them. If they were saved, it surely didn't help them. If they were lost, it surely hurt them worse. Think about those things. You know, and think about it, because someday, if the Lord tarries, each one of us is going to be put in the ground. And is our life going to count for something? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. Now, another thing is in Proverbs chapter 3. Those are three areas where the Bible actually mentions the word memorial. But what about your daily work? Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. In your daily work, every single day, that's holy work. When you're born again, everything that you do can become holy. And Jesus Christ wants to be a part of everything that you do. Now, hopefully you're not a bartender, because I doubt that you're going to pray as you deliver the drink. You know, several years ago when I first moved down to Rensselaer, I got invited to pray before a volunteer's banquet that they had at the old folks' home in the area. So Jan and I getting dressed, we're going to go over to the old folks' home, have this little banquet, and they want me to pray before the meal, and thought came up between us both. What if they're serving liquor? Then we go, nah, it's an old folks' home. They wouldn't be doing that. But then I'm thinking, what if? I'll find out when we get there. Well, we got there, and the entertainment was late, so everything was delayed, and this lady gets up and says, in the back, you go ahead and serve yourself drinks, and then we'll have the meal a little bit later. I looked up, got out in the hall, walked down the hall. I was steaming. I was mad. No, what am I going to do? Oh, these dirty rats. How do you do that? How did I get myself in this mess? So get ready for the meal. I get up, pray before the meal, and I just said, don't want to be a party pooper or something like that, but didn't know you're serving drinks here. And I said, and I was asked to pray before this meal, and I'll pray for the meal, but I want to tell you something. God will not bless something he's cursed. And the prayer that I'm going to pray will be for the food and not the drink. And I prayed my prayer, and boy, did that run around the town real quick. Afterwards, some woman walks up to me. I really respect your voice. You know, all that stuff. But hey, that's how it goes. But you see, God wants to be a part of everything. What kind of work do you do? I don't care what kind of work you do. You know, if it's a legitimate work, ask God to help you with that. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I don't care what kind of work you're doing. Farming, trucking. Trucking, you got to pray for grace you don't run over somebody, especially when they pull out in front of you. Carpentry, I don't care what it is. You know, I shingled my house this last week. Pray that I cut that shingle right. Pray I don't cut my finger off. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God wants to be a part of everything that's in your life. Everything. The third thing about forgetfulness is God's willingness to remember. If you would, look in Hebrews chapter 6. This is the blessing about God, is that he remembers your labor of love. You may not remember it, but he does. Now, it does say in Philippians that you and I are forgetting those things which are past. And there are a lot of things we should forget about. And a lot of things that we've done that right or wrong that we've forgotten about. But God will not forget your labor of love. Hebrews 6:10. For the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed together or toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God remembers that. And he keeps accurate records. An example of this in the Bible is in Matthew 26. There's a woman that had a great sacrifice, and she anointed the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, what she has done will be spoken of as a memorial. What one lady did. In Acts chapter 10, a lost man was sincere in what he was doing, Cornelius. And this lost man sincerely followed his religious beliefs. And the Bible says his prayers were a memorial in heaven. God heard those prayers. God answered those prayers by sending a man along and won him to Christ. But what would have happened at the judgment if that man didn't get saved? God would have remembered those prayers. He wouldn't have gone to heaven because of them, but God would have remembered him, and it would have been more tolerable for him in the day of judgment. The idea is that God doesn't forget what we've done for him. And that's a great blessing, because a lot of times people forget, but God don't forget. And he's got those things laid out, and you're going to see those things again someday. And so the thing is, we need to pray that God helps us not to forget what people have done for us and express our gratitude. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us remember. Lord, there are so many things that can sidetrack us away from thee, and Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember. Help us to slow down every single day and spend time with you and walk with thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember what people have done for us and express our gratitude. And Lord, I pray you'd help us remember what you have done. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember your goodness, your chastisements. Help us remember the sacrifice of your Son. And Lord, I pray you'd help us not to forget you. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the incense plays, the altar's open if you need it. Americans seem to have an attitude of demanding God to bless America. Now, God should have, we should pray that God has mercy on America. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. It's very, very easy to forget things. Forget the graciousness of others. Just ask God to remind you about these things. And walk with him daily. Lord, I do pray you'd help us remember what you've done and remember you, what you've done in the past, remember what you are doing in the present, and to remember what you will do in the future, and help us express our gratitude towards thee. In Jesus' name, amen.